This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham, and I have probably the best guest I'm ever going to have on this show sitting here at a table with me right now. And no offense to you, Doug Ward, it's not you. I've got Doug Ward with me here from AWE, but I've got WWE Hall of Famer Ricky Morton from the Rock and Roll Express. Ricky, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Well, Chris, I appreciate it, man. It's always a pleasure to come on here and talk about wrestling.
First thing I got to ask about, WWE Hall of Fame. I'm looking right now across the table at this big honking ring you got on your hand right now. When you got the call, first off, about your induction into the Hall of Fame, 44 years in this business, what was your reaction when you got that phone call?
Well, to be truthful with you, I cried. I mean, it was caught me really off guard, and I waited all my life. I waited my whole career for that moment, and they just called right out of the blue and says, we're going to tell you something, but would you please keep it under the table until we announce it on Monday Night Raw? We'd like to induct you and Robert into the WWE Hall of Fame. And I actually cried. Mm-hmm. I'm not, I admit it, I did. I cried.
I remember watching Raw. Mm-hmm. And the internet had leaked it a little bit beforehand.
Yes.
But I remember watching Raw and seeing it. And we've known each other for a long time. Uh-huh. And you and Robert have done everything that can imagine in this business, in the wrestling business. Some of the greatest matches in history, you guys in the Midnight Express. Y'all did the Skywalkers. You did it all. The WWE Hall of Fame, would you say that's probably the greatest moment in your career?
Without a doubt. Now, see, it's different stages in our career, you know, and I really want you to understand this. Robert and I were a tag team that were put together at Memphis, Tennessee for Jerry Lawler. We were a tag team that was never supposed to get over. The Midnight Express was a tag team that were never supposed to get over. And I'm talking to you really, now, as long as we stayed in Memphis, we would have never got over. But Bill Dundee took the book over in Louisiana, and he wanted to change the system because you had the big guys. And Bill Dundee was telling Bill Watts, man, look at your top baby face. I mean, it's Jim Duggan. I mean, you got to draw. When you draw girls, you draw guys, and then you sell out. But see, we went to Louisiana, and we really got into seeing that was our first break in the business. Man, you know, doing that, me, Robert, Terry Taylor, but we got an opportunity that we took advantage of, brother, and boom, and we got over. And then we went on to NWA, but see, it steps up every time. Here we go, do we win the NWA World Tag Team titles for the first time in Shelby, North Carolina? Well, you're thinking to yourself, you can never do better than that. You know what I'm saying? What else can you accomplish in this business? Especially when you're not a big factor or a big star in WWE. But now you have the WWE Hall of Fame. And you look at it, and dude, you got the phone call, you know, and when you sit in there in a room and you're with Hunter Hensley and you're with all the boys, and let me tell you guys, when you're away from the business like that, from the big companies for 20 years, and they call you and you go there, I mean, you thought, man, am I gonna feel out of place going here, and I hope, but guys, let me tell you, the WWE family, 5 minutes, dude, I felt like I never, not 5 minutes, 5 seconds, I will say that, I felt like I had never, ever left the business to be on top. Let the guys tell you how you paved the way for them. And I did. You know, Robert and I wasn't the tag team that made all these millions of dollars. We paved the road for them to do it.
That's one thing I wanted to talk to you about. Yes. I know me and Chris, me and you talked about this. Uh-huh. I want to rewind just a minute because a lot of fans don't know this. Some do. Some have listened to me interviews in the past.
Yeah.
What fans don't realize, you and Robert, when y'all came from Memphis and Louisiana and you came over to the Crockett promotion, you guys were the biggest tag team, the most popular tag team. Cornette made reference to this. This was so funny on the Hall of Fame. He said you and Robert had more sex going to the ring than anybody had in their lifetime. y'all were the hottest tag team out there, but you're also new. And I think I've heard you say this too. The Crocketts, they took a lot of advantage of you guys too then back then. Talking about the money that wasn't made, they took a lot of the money that rightfully should have been yours. Well, but y'all were new to it and didn't understand it. Is that what I heard correctly?
Well, but let me put it to you this way. I can't blame nobody but myself. And this is what I try to teach my kids at my school, how important your education is. I wasn't educated enough to know that I was getting robbed. I didn't know that. Dude, when you have a rock and roll rock and roll package with a life-size poster, a record in the fan club, and it sells for $19.95 and they sell over 1 million copies, and you don't get a dime, you know, see, that's my fault. I let that happen.
Would you agree? Would you agree they took advantage of me?
Well, they took advantage of me. Gosh, yeah, they took advantage of me. Yes, I'm not trying to, you know, hide nothing. Yes, they robbed us blind. I didn't know this right here. Even the Midnight Express, I didn't know. You know, Jimmy Cornette, Bobby, they had a $250,000 a year contract. They had a contract, and I didn't even know they had a contract.
My biggest year. So y'all were working on a nightly basis then, weren't you?
My biggest year, it was one year was $125,000.
Wow.
And now you stop and think, that's just only 1 year. And after a divorce, that's nothing. You hear me? That's nothing. Yeah. I've been working the independent circuit. But let's go back to the same thing, Marvin. I'm not here to blame the Crocketts. I'm not here to blame nobody. I'm just only here to blame myself. Because if you're out there and you're listening, get your education. Understand business. I didn't. I was just know that we were selling out every night, and I was running like old, you know, time went by so quick, brother, just running because you wrestled every night in front of arenas. And you know what? And you stop and think. And I try to tell guys this right here. We just didn't sell arenas out once a year. We didn't come to your town once a year. We sold your town out every week.
I want to ask you about your singles run. I was a teenager just getting into wrestling as a fan. Rock and Roll Express, you guys beat the Koloffs for the tag belts. You get in a feud with Ric Flair and the Horsemen, and that was a heck of a summer as a fan watching growing up. You were wrestling for the NWA World Title.
Yeah, but you know, you got to understand how this occurred. Robert and I, in our business, but there's a lot of politics, uh-huh. Boy, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of politics. And see, for me, another thing that hurt me in the business is I stood up for the boys. The boys came first. It didn't matter what. Well, you were right there, and I'm telling you, buddy, Dusty had built so much plans for Magnum TA. They were grooming Magnum for the world title to work with Flair. Magnum had the car wreck, broke his neck. Well, that's gone. And even got a hand to Dusty, that unseen Dusty and Flair, it's just going to be another Seinfeld rerun. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, at the time, Flair was looking for somebody to wrestle. Matter of fact, Robert hurt his knee just a little bit, not to be so in the part that there wasn't the one time, but this is the second time. The first time he hurt his knee. So he was out, and I had to work a single match on TV in Rock Hill. And I wrestled, and Flair watched the match. And he told Jimmy Crockett, he says, "Wow, man, I want to work with him. He's going to die. He's over." So, and it all come up, and it led up to that. Man, what a learning experience that was.
I'll never forget watching that on TBS. When you come out there and you tuck his glasses off, and that's what really got it all fired up and going. You tuck him nice shades off, put him on the ground, and you stomped him.
Okay, now let's go back to the whole thing here. Nowadays, everything is scripted. You're at the TV shows at 10 o'clock in the morning. You're going over your matches. You're going over every word you said. When I shot that angle with Flair, it wasn't even scripted. Nothing.
Really?
No. I'm out there in the ring, and you know, Flair's cutting an interview, the tinny boppers and everything. He's going, take my glasses off and work them. You know, that he's talking again, blah, 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 blah. And, So he's talking. That's when I reached up and grabbed him and stomped on him. He slapped me, threw me in the ring. If you notice, he's outside the ring and I punched him, but he's going, suplex me, you know. Boom, boom, and I suplex him in the ring, and boom, then they went from there. I wrestled Rick after our thing got to going. You see, back to the business again, guys, and you get me. I'm jumping off.
That's okay.
That's good. Wrestling fans want to
see to get over. See, me and Flair done that, but see, the TV were on bicycle tapes. All right, they already seen the thing where I slapped Flair, but I'm getting ready for Flair. This is business in our business. And I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. All right. I go out. This is, I'm going to meet Flair on the third show there for the world title. So, first time in Charlotte, I'm wrestling Abdullah the Butcher. Abdullah's a businessman when he gets paid. You understand me? I beat Abdullah right in the middle of the ring with my finish. Nobody knows that. It was a house show. It's not on TV. Boom. I beat him. Abdullah told me, he said, thank you, kid. He said, I hope you make us a lot of money. Roll out the next show. I'm wrestling the Midnight Express. Back in with Robert. The finish was, I mean, you know what? We're going to beat him. But Dennis Condrey told me, I got Dennis said, listen, Bobby's going to hit you with our finish off the top rope. He said, kick out on one. I went, one? He says, kick out on one, son. You're fixing to wrestle Flair. You got to make us some money. Now I'm back around. Well, I go to Richmond, and it's the same thing, but it's just different people. Okay, the next show I'm wrestling Flair, but this night I'm wrestling Dick Murdoch in a single match. Brother, and we're tearing the house down by Virginia. He stops me, hits me with a brainbuster. Dick Murdoch's finish. Right when he picks me up, he says, you kick out on one. And he dropped me down, boom, I kicked out on one. But, I saw it in the care, and he rolled over at me, he goes, make me a lot of money, son. Boom. See, that was the compliment.
So it was the constant build.
Yes.
Toward Flair.
Yes. You see, but that's what they just leave out nowadays.
And everybody, it wasn't just you, everybody bought into it. The whole locker room.
They had to get me over.
Yeah,
it took everybody.
And it was everybody's job
to get me over.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did. Yeah.
So they took everybody that was hot in each certain area.
Oh, yeah.
Because they knew that the grand picture.
Everybody was over, but it was. But
the grand picture was this was going to be our moneymaker.
I beat everybody heel in the territory until I got
to lead you straight to the mountain.
And then Rick, me and Rick, did 17 straight hour matches, which is called Broadway in our day. And that, you notice when I was on the Hall of Fame, I says, me and Rick went down Broadway of Indian Nights. Yep. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
That is where I got my PhD. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Now, boys knew what I meant. I walked down Broadway. That means a hour time limit.
Yeah.
Now, some fans have heard this story, but they don't understand. They wanted to give you the world title.
I beat Rick for the world title. It ain't the part I didn't want it. It was the part that Buddy and for the boys, they wanted to fire Robert.
So they wanted to get rid of the Rock and Roll Express.
Well, okay, so let's go back and rewind back to what we was talking about a while ago about politics and our business. Robert and I reached a point that they didn't want us at. And they couldn't kill us off. No matter what they did, because
now you were out drawing Dusty and Flair and all that.
Oh my gosh, with the Midnight Express. But see, understand me, son. When you know our business and you know how to work, they can beat me every night. But I know how to keep myself over. Okay, he knew that. Dusty knew that. So they're gonna put the world, but they wanted to. But which is a good and I understand because this right here is what killed off Marty Jannetty. Because they took Sean and made him the champion, and he hung around, and all it did was kill him. You hear me?
Yeah.
So I beat Rick for the belt, and I went to the back room and said, well, this is what we're going to do. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I gave it back to him, and that's the shoot. It would have changed my whole life and world.
But it would end in Roberts.
And if you heard me say on the Hall of Fame, only a few people only understood that. If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't change one thing.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Because he was more important to me. It's life.
Now, we talk about that. You mentioned that, the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We said yes. That. There wasn't a dry eye in our house.
Yeah.
At the end of that Hall of Fame speech, when you said what you said to Robert, that was legit, that was true, that was right from the heart. And that right there was what you would just now said, the reason you didn't split up the Rock and Roll Express.
Yes. No. I never change a thing. It's the best thing.
Nobody could ever say Ricky Morton was about money and not about the business.
Well, that's why Ricky Morton don't got no money.
Okay.
Honestly, right?
But you understand me.
Yeah.
And I think this, and I tell my wife, and I tell them, and that truthfully, I don't know. I mean, I never had a lot of money. I never been really rich. I don't know what it's like, but I know I'm happy. Every day of my life, I wake up happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just because I got older or the medication the doctor put me on. I don't know.
You know, you talk about, this is what's actually insane when you think about it. You know, you talk about what you didn't have, and you didn't. You didn't have a lot of the money, and you didn't.
No. I mean,
these guys today are walking around with millions that don't work a tenth of the schedule that you worked your life.
And I'm going to tell you this. A lot of them's made more in 6 months than I made in 44 years.
But what's crazy about that whole analogy, you were the biggest star in the world
quite a long time. See, but as time progresses on, things change. We were before that time. You understand me? I mean, I can deal with that. But like I was telling you earlier, I'm happy. You know, I stay. You know, I'm born in the wrestling business, raised in the wrestling business. And when I train, and I let these guys know, this is no joke, this is no game. This is me, this is my life, this is what I do. And guys, let me tell you, I meet people on the independent circuit that's got about as much business being in the ring as me flying a space shuttle. I have to deal with them though, because it's what I do for a living. Sometimes, you know, at my wrestling school, I have to train guys two ways. To train to go to be a better wrestler, but then I got to train them how to be on defense. And it's not to be tough. It's just when you go on, you know, to me, a lot of times it's like going on a blind date. I never know what I'm going to get. You know, when I lock up with the guy, you know, a regular lockup, but I throw my arm up like that, that's where the guy won't headbutt me in the head because nobody's taught him to keep his head up. You know, and it's things like that that you always, that's just one for instance, but this business is all I know. It's all I want to know. And look, guys, I'm going to be 61 years old. Maybe I don't do the Hurricane Carana off the top rope. It's easy for you to say, off the top rope. But I can. Serious. Maybe I don't dive off over the top rope no more, but I can. And I can't.
Have you seen this stuff? That reminds me of this debate going on right now in the wrestling world. That tweet from
Randy Orton.
Well,
the dive comment.
Rip Rogers,
but it was
right?
Rip Rogers first. Yeah. Rich Rogers come out was last week with it.
About the lack of psychology. And you're talking about this a little bit here. That so many of the indie guys now is just hot spots, dives.
Yes.
No psychology. It's not like it was back
it's
in the day.
It's like they have a play pad like a quarterback does on football. Okay. High spot number one, they do it, stop the match. High spot number two, they do it. And if it messes up, they just redo it again. No, there's no psychology. I mean, I don't know the details about Randy Orton or about them or that other, but sometimes it's just what we do in our life.
Now you go back to when the Rock and Roll and the Midnights were hot, on fire.
Yes.
You don't have to watch 6 weeks of TV to know what's happening. When y'all started from the beginning to the end, you told a story, and you could follow it.
Oh yeah, buddy.
Nowadays, you don't have any idea, any clue what these guys are doing. They're jumping here, jumping there.
But understand here too, and this is what we done. We live in a sacred business. You guys are what I'm talking about. We kayfabed. Stood up for this business. That's what I'm talking about. Standing up for this business. When we wrestled these guys. You know, Bobby Eaton is one of my best friends, but I only seen him in the ring. You didn't share dressing rooms together. You didn't go over matches. You know how many times that, and I love this too, and WWE does it too. Nobody knows the finishes. Nobody knows what they're doing in their matches. And I like that. That's cool. But even for Crockett, it's a many a times. Dude, I'm walking to the ring and Tommy Young go, you got 1 hour time limit. With the Midnight Express, you know, you got 1 hour. Didn't even know until I was walking to the ring. You wasn't out back or hid in the room going, oh, I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to do this to you, and you do this to me.
They didn't have earpieces back for the referees back then either. Did they feed you what you're supposed to do?
All this shit's going into it. Well, the earpieces is a lot from the agents, you know, that go over the matches with them to tell them to put it in there. A lot of it's to talk, to tell them how much time they got and what they're going to do. That's, you know, it's, the business has changed a lot. But it was different, dude. We was like drama class, dude. We went out there and we told a story. We danced all through the night. And it was cool. And we did it every night for years and years. You know, and it started out in Louisiana. You know, and Bill Watts will tell you, too, you were talking earlier. He told, if you read his book, he said he made more money with Robert and I there for the year that we was there than he made 10 years on in the whole territory. Sure did. Made more money.
So what was the week of WWE Hall of Fame like? You were there for the whole week, right? You and your family all there.
What was it like?
Yeah.
You know, only sad thing about it was that it ended.
It ended, yeah.
The hotels we stayed in, you know, they flew me and my family down first class. You have, you know, pick you up at the airport. We get to the hotel. My room is bigger than my house. Serious, dude. It's on the top floor at a Marriott. And gosh, it's just unbelievable. The windows and my kids are the same way. You know, they're just right down the hall. They're over here. And the food, it's like, you know, being like at the, when we signed the autographs and when they did the thing, they unveiled the statue of Flair and all this. I mean, it's like movie sets, dude. I mean, food, gosh. I told myself, dude, I weigh 500 pounds if I live around here, because everywhere somebody's cooking, and I'm not talking ham and cheese. Man, I'm talking crab legs. I'm talking steaks is thick, and gosh, man, it was humble. That was Vince calling me. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's kind of telling us at high, right?
But and out there, and I guess Vince just rented the whole
hotel
because security's everywhere, buddy. I mean, and nobody, you didn't see the people out front hanging out, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he rented the whole hotel. It's just the people that work for, you know, I mean, he's got to have 3,000 people working for him. If you didn't see people hanging around out back, the big water park for the kids, and that's where all the boys were at. And if you needed anything, you just went down to the green room. I mean, needed anything. Well, they give you clothes, they give you this, if you needed that, everything you wanted to eat, anything you wanted to drink, it was there.
Fans had been clamoring for years for Rock and Roll Express getting Hall of Fame. There'd be guys at ringside on Raw holding signs. You joked about that during your speech. You know, yes. Now you don't have to do that anymore. What did that mean to you, though, that fans had been pushing for that for so long?
God, it was all over the dude. They knew. You know, and the fans pushed for it, but the boys knew, too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, I think Robert and I were, I think, one of the first ones to be put into Hall of Fame for WWE that wasn't a part of WWE, you know, and they did this.
And a legitimate tag team that never split.
Yes, but, and this is what they said when they put us in the Hall of Fame. We want our Hall of Fame to be legit. And it can't be legit unless we put the Rock and Roll Express. And brother, you're talking about bringing a tear to your eye, not bring a tear to your eye.
Yeah.
They said our Hall of Fame cannot be legit unless we have the Rock and Roll Express in there. And understand me too, buddy, when you seen Jimmy Cornette put us in there, what was that telling you?
See, that's I got two good important questions, and that's okay. One of them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna finish with two questions for you, and then I'll let Chris finish. Number one, the Midnight Express deserved to be in with the Rock and Roll Express. Your opinion, will they go in? That's my first question.
My opinion, where they go in. Now, you base yourself off my opinion. In my opinion, the Midnight Express is the greatest heel tag team ever.
Jimmy
Cornette, greatest heel manager ever. Jimmy Cornette, many times, if you listen to his podcast, they never put us in the Hall of Fame because I got so much heat with Vince McMahon. He said, hell, the freeze over. But y'all, big saying at WWE is anything can happen at WWE. And hell didn't freeze over either.
I know it got a little chilly that night.
Well, they gave him a live,
you gave Jim Cornette a live microphone.
they talked to Jimmy, you know what I'm saying? Putting us in is a step to making the Hall of Fame really legit. Well, you know damn good and well the Midnight Express are going in the Hall of Fame next year.
Absolutely.
Nobody said that, but you know they are. What do you think Jimmy Cornette was there for? Did I shake their hands and say, oh, yeah, I do this favor for you? No, but it don't work that way.
Now, my last question, mine. Mm-hmm. What is next for Ricky Morton, a man that has done it all?
Well.
What's next?
Well, I was telling you, I'm going to be 61 years old.
Is there anything you haven't done?
Yes, buddy. A lot of things I haven't done. But the best thing got in my life is right. I love this business. But it comes a part that you're going to have to stop. But you know what I love just as much as wrestling? It's teaching. Especially when you get a kid that wants to learn. You know, and this is what's hard to explain. I've been wrestling for 44 years, and I still learn every day. You see, you got to have that mind. When you get a kid that you can't teach, that thinks he knows, see, that's kind of like, because I could show him so much that he don't. I can really spin his head around quick because I throw a curveball at him. Learn our business. You don't learn it all. You never learn it all. So if you keep an open mind and learn and learn and learn, you'll only get better. See, our business is not being a great wrestler. You listen to me? It's just being at the right place at the right time. And when you're at the right place at the right time, if you're able, this is what I try to teach my boys. If you're able to do what they want you to do, if you can fulfill those shoes, if you can do what they want you to do, you got to be prepared to do it. And it don't matter what it is. You know, I had a guy at my school the other night. I ran a show. First of all, I made him. He went out. I don't know what he had on, but he went out and done it. He went out and had a dance off with Marcus. You know Marcus. He went out and had a dance off with Marcus. Come back, did it great. Then he came back and put a. I gave him a Mexican hood. He went out there and wrestled as a Mexican. Blew my mind. And then he went out as himself. I have a little boy that's with him, Jungle Boy. They went out there and stole the show. So it's not a part about wrestling or what you do this for. It's because I wanted to see if he could do it. See, don't be afraid to be afraid. You hear me? Is that a good thing? Don't be afraid to be afraid. If you're in our business, I don't know if a lot of people understand what I mean by that. Don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to be afraid to be afraid to go do something. That's what I meant by that.
Let's finish on this note. School of Morton.
Man.
How do people learn at your feet? How they learn his business inside and out? How can they do that?
Man, it's you have to come to my school. You know, you can find me on Facebook, School of Morton. We do very well.
Good.
It's not, you know, come there. You know, like I told you, I have people at my school, and a lot of part of it is making dreams come true. I have one kid at my school that has MS, and when he came to be, you couldn't believe. But today, if you walked in my school and I asked you to pick him out, you can't pick him out unless I tell you. I have one kid that has leukemia. I have another boy that's real big. He's lost 100 pounds since he's been in, but could you imagine being in high school and have a show where you're the main event? It's just like being a rock star and you're singing in front. Daydreamed about that many a times. How many times do you think he's daydreamed? I did that. I took him and made him main event at his own high school on a weeknight on a Tuesday night. And we were packed because his high school come to see him. And it changed his worlds. I made their public speaking better. I make them understand how important your education is. And we went over through that earlier. It's a big world outside of Greenville and Bristol, Tennessee. And you can't see it unless you got an education. Go see this world. Buddy, we have a big world. Go enjoy it. And public speaking is one of the most important things in our business. My son, I put him into acting. They gave him acting classes. He plays in Broadway shows because of his, you know, it's, and when you got a son that's 15 years old, it's on your butt all the time about the way that I talk. It's because I wasn't educated like he is, and he's on to it. I want him to be that. And how important, the last thing I'm going to say to you, is how important it is in life to get to say yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It's not a reflection on you. It's not a reflection on me. It's a reflection on your parents. The best compliment in my world is when Ric Flair or Ricky Steamboat or somebody comes up to me, and it's not about my son, that he's out there in the ring. They tell me, Ricky Morton, you're the best mannered son I've ever met in my entire life. See, the rest, that's a trip downtown. That's a compliment.
Yeah. So anybody that wants to be trained, and you're hands-on too. You're not like some of these schools that put a name
up. I'm in the ring too, buddy.
You're hands-on with your students.
You know, and I want to tell everybody here, I don't know what date this will come on, but I'm going to the Performance Center.
WWE.
Sure am. I'm going there open-minded. I'm going there to give all I got. Got to get a hold of me. I'm fixing to have a big seminar. It's going to happen at my school. I'm going to have a three-day seminar with Chase Owens and Tom Pritchard. And
I'm going Bobby, to that, by the way.
Bobby Eaton. And, you know, I'm going to bring a lot of my buddies in, Tommy Rich maybe, and everybody. You know, that's another person I want to say, most underrated wrestler in the world, Tommy Rich. And you wait and see. I predict he'll be in the Hall of Fame within the next 5 years.
And deserves it.
He was the Hulk Hogan before there was Hulk Hogan. You hear me?
Yeah.
So everybody, anybody that wants to be in the professional wrestling business, that wants to be trained the right way, the legitimate way,
thank you, buddy.
By probably one of the greatest WWE Hall of Famers of all time, Ricky Morton, you can go to Facebook.
School of Morton.
Gotcha.
Just look up School of Morton on Facebook. We'll link to it on our podcast page, too. So we'll give you an easy way if you're on the internet. You're probably listening to us one of many different ways. We'll have that link on every page you can find us on.
So it's in Chuckie, Tennessee, am I correct?
Chuckie, Tennessee, right outside of Greenville.
Right out of Greenville, Tennessee.
Right below Johnson City.
So fans, so if they want to contact you, it's Facebook, School of Morton.
School of Morton.
To be trained by probably the greatest.
Yeah, and our doors are open to everyone.
On that note, I will sign off. Thanks, Ricky Morton, for being here. Doug Ward, thank you. And I'm signing off for Street Knowledge. I am Chris Graham. Y'all have a great night, everybody.